Well, several years ago, Beth and I were invited to a beach house in Gulf Shores, Alabama. It was a friend of a friend. And this friend called me and he said, "Hey, Richard's beach house that was destroyed by Ivan got rebuilt and they finished it a week early, so they haven't started renting it out yet. Do you and Beth and the kids want to go with us to the beach house in 2 days?" And the answer was yes. And we show up, and it's awesome. It's a great place, and thankful for those folks that have those beach houses. But one of the things I noticed about this particular beach house is really cool. They all have kind of names on them, you know. And this beach house, the name of it was Together Again. I was like, man, I like that. It's this idea that even though the family may be scattered for a time, doing their thing, doing life, that a couple times a year, they come back together again. That's really what we have here in the book of Acts this morning. We have the story of humanity that has been scattered, coming back together again and doing what their souls were created to do, which is praise God and love one another. Living under the reign of God and in fellowship with one another. How do we get back together again? Well, I think the bigger question that we should ask is, how did we lose that connection with God and with one another? If we are human beings made in the image of God and we were created to have our souls worshiping and praising God as He made us, and we were created to enjoy and love one another, how did we get to this place? Everything at the beginning of humanity was great. We walked with God, He walked with us, and we had connection with Him. Adam and Eve walked with one another. They were naked. Everything was great. But sin entered the world. And we embrace it wholeheartedly. And now we have a fractured relationship with God. And we have a fractured relationship with one another. We became outsiders. Literally, cast out of the garden, away from God's presence. And then we became jealous of one another, Cain and Abel. First story. We became jealous of one another and began to compete with one another. We became, in a word, enemies of God and enemies with one another. But you know what's cool? God immediately began implementing His plan to bring us back together again. To bring us back into fellowship with Him, and to bring us back into fellowship with one another. What's happening here in Acts is actually a historic moment. A plan that God has had in place from the beginning is now fully coming online. Why is this a historic moment in Acts? Well, because of the historic moment that was Jesus. Because of the finished work of Jesus, humanity, we can now have full relationship with God and with one another. In Jesus, God has taken away the guilt of our sin. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. He has also given us credit for what Jesus did, which still baffles me. He gives us credit for all the great things that Jesus did, and He counts us as righteous. But God and Jesus also took care of our slavery to sin. We are now set free. We don't have to live to continually gratify ourselves any longer. And what happens to people? And what happens when people are completely forgiven and they are set free from sin and death? They come together again. They love God and they love one another. The family of God. And what do we find them doing here in our text? Their lives are centered around God again, and their lives are centered around one another. What are the characteristics of this group of people? What does it look like for us to live together again in community with one another. Let's dive into the text. First, we see that it is a community that is devoted to God. The text says in verse 42, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and down further in 47, it says they were praising God. They already believed that the words that they had received from the apostles were the words of God Himself, and they devoted themselves to this teaching, to the Bible. It means as a community, everything we do is shaped by God's Word. Everything. One of the marks of a Christian community is a devotion to the Word of God. Why? Well, I mean, it's the truth. And it brings us back to that story of redemption. It brings us back to the God behind that redemption. It brings us back to this unfolding story that is still called life. It's a community that is devoted to the apostles' teaching. I used to tell students, and I'll tell you, I am required to teach everything the Bible says with authority. I'm required to do that. I am not permitted to teach anything with authority that is not in the Scriptures. We have to be devoted to God's Word fully and actively. The second thing we see is that it's a community devoted to fellowship. We see this in a couple of different ways. In verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And then down further, it said they were together and had all things in common. It's a community that's devoted to hanging out. And even down in the text later, we see, and day by day, verse 46, it's a community that is devoted to fellowship. It's devoted to hanging out. I love hanging out. You know, one of the things, you know, as we're doing this church plant thing in College Station, one of the things that I'm continually telling the group is to say, hey, look, one of the things that we're going to do is we're just going to hang out. That's what we're going to do. It's like, well, what do we do? I'm like, hang out. That's what we're going to do. You know, I would love for us to have not one watch party, but 10 watch parties a week. Just hanging out. Why is that so important for us to do that? Because Satan and sin work and deceive in isolation and darkness. If Satan and sin can keep us apart, he's winning. And one of the ways that we confront Satan's work head on is by just being together. This community, the one here described in the text, this community described in Acts, and this community right here will last forever. This is going to be, the church is the one community group left standing when it's all said and done. It means that you, as you invest in this community now, you are investing in an eternal community. You're not investing in something that might go away. This group, these are our mothers and fathers in the faith. This is the legacy handed down to us, this community of people devoted to God and devoted to one another. Isn't it cool to think that what you're a part of right now is going to last forever? Now, the sin part won't last forever. Praise the Lord. But we will get to be together forever. There's one community group in heaven, and you're already a part of it. Isn't that cool? It's a community devoted to eating together and praying. Is the Lord's Supper in view in this text? Maybe, probably, like in a broader way, probably is. But I think it's also important, and probably most important, to think about it in this way, that when you put your feet under the table with someone else, something holy is happening. having people in your home and sharing a meal with people is a holy thing. Because Jesus is there. While we share our lives and we share our stories of what's going on, and in the middle of the stories, there's a burp and an exclamation. That's the best strawberry cake I've ever had in my life. And then we keep talking about our stories and our lives together. It's all right there, centered around this table. And I know you want to do it. I know you want to go to that neighbor that's lived next to you for 10 years. I know you want to go to them and say, "Hey, we're having some burgers tonight. Y'all want to come over?" I know you want to do it. If you need me to tell you to do it, I'll tell you. Just do it. Just walk over there. There's something very special is happening when believers come together and they invite others in. You see that in the text. It also says that they were devoted to praying. Now, there were probably some official prayers they had, similar to some official prayers that we have, the confession of sin and the Lord's Supper. These are set prayers that we say each week, some different prayers on confession of sin, but they are official prayers that we select. And so it probably has some official prayers in view here, but also, of course, includes just prayer generally. We see that they're a community that talked to God. God's word is Him talking to us, and prayer is us talking back to Him, about His word, about our lives. They talked to God continually about what was going on in their lives. You see prayer happening all over the book of Acts for various things. You look up the word pray or prayer in Acts and you'll see it everywhere. Dedicating their lives to God, praying for the Holy Spirit to blow into people's hearts. It's also a community where the extraordinary things come out of the ordinary things. We see here they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and prayer and breaking of bread and the fellowship. And then it says in verse 43, many wonders and signs came. Now, that was most probably to confirm to them that what they were doing was the right thing to be doing. That was a confirmation of the apostles' teaching and of what they were doing. But broadly speaking, it really points to something where extraordinary things come out of ordinary things. It really is the little things. So don't picture this, but I go to spin class at Gold's Gym. I've been going for a few years now. Go and I got a couple teachers and I love it. I call it my non-Christian community group. It's great. I love it. And you know, one of the things that's wonderful about it is the teachers, after it's over, they look me in the eye and they say, "Thank you for coming." And I about tear up, you know, because in that moment, it's a simple thing of, "Hey, Ben, I see you. I acknowledge that you're a person. Thank you for being here." I'm getting teary thinking about it right now, but just that simple things like that. And it's interesting because there's a contrast at the gym as well. So every 6 or 8 weeks about every 10 weeks, they do what's called a launch, which is like the new spin class program, you know. And I've gone to a lot of the launches. And this one time they had this launch where they like dressed up in like Hawaiian costumes, the teachers. And they come in and I was just thinking, why y'all got to do that? Like, we're here. We're glad to be here. I mean, the most important thing that you do every week is you thank us for being here. Like, you don't have to wear the costumes, you know, to get our attention. You don't have to do the flashy thing to make us feel special. We do these normal things. We read the Bible. We do the Bible. We read it. We teach it. We pray. We hang out with each other. We eat with each other. And then as we do those things, as we dive into those things, into these things in this text, God does miraculous things out of that. I mean, there are stories in this room of people, of entire family trees that have been changed because a person went to another person and said, "Hey, we're having burgers tonight. Y'all want to come over?" There are stories like that in this building right now. Entire family trees have been changed in these just simple, beautiful ways. As I talk to folks in the community and even folks that are interested in our congregation down at College Station, and they may not be really connected to Westminster, but they've been in church before. As I talk to these folks, you know, some of them just say, "You know what? I'm done with the flashing lights." I'm not trying to knock all the churches that do that. I'm just saying this person is communicating like, we just want teaching and prayer and fellowship with one another. We don't need the flashy stuff. It's also a community we see, a community where you have to work at it. It's a community where you have to work at it. The text says that they were devoted to fellowship. It was daily. They held everything in common. They had to work at community. A few years ago, we were at Presbytery, and one of the new church planters, it's now an established church in Austin, Jay Simmons is a pastor of Grace and Peace, and he's giving a report of the church plant, and we're all sitting there, and he just made this little comment. He said, "Community is not found, it's formed." Like, blew my mind. I was like, that is awesome. Community is not something you stumble upon. It's something that you dive into and we form together. There's not going to be community for you unless you're investing. It's just not going to happen. And the point is, we need you to invest. I need you to invest in my life as I invest in your life. They did small groups in their homes. They ate together. All that takes work. All of it takes work. But remember, you're investing in eternal relationships. It's worth it. The group here in Acts, they were forming community. We see also that it is a community that is devoted to each other's needs. Verse 45. If someone had a need, they addressed it. They tried to take care of it. We have a friend in Mississippi. And she's a wonderful lady. She supported us in RUF my entire time, 13 years in RUF, both in Mississippi and Texas. Sweet lady. She's the single largest taxpayer in her county. She owns about 8,000 acres of land. She just cuts pine trees when she needs money. And she's a very generous lady, and she's wonderful. And we've gotten to be friends with her. And she, a couple times ago, maybe last year when we were there, she comes from a county that's, I mean, it's still racially charged in the entire state of Mississippi, but this is a particularly racially charged county. And so, you know, the black kids go to the county school and the white kids go to the private school. Just the way it is. And this new family moved into town. This new black family moved into town, and the dad was an engineer with the local plant, and he had a good job. And so he put his kids, he wanted to put, and the schools there, the public schools in Mississippi, they're tough. I mean, they're in bad shape. The governor declared a state of emergency last week for Jackson Public Schools. I mean, it's a bad deal. So this dad, he wanted his kids to have a better education, so he put his kids in private school. And, you know, about 3 or 4 months in, he lost his job. Just, I mean, the company did a 180. He lost his job. And our friend, she got word of it. She got in her car. She went up to that school. And she wrote a check for the tuition for those kids.
She didn't tell anybody who it was. She just did it. I don't know who it was. I don't live there, but it was funny. She was telling the story, and I said, she was telling the story, and she was telling me about it, and she said, I said, you just went up there and wrote a check, didn't you? She said, yeah, that's exactly what I did. And I love that story because I want to invite you into, you know, and I hear the stories in this church of people doing that. I hear stories of people just slipping people money. Hey, go buy those school supplies. Hey, go buy. I mean, I love those stories. You see, that's Acts chapter 2 type, Acts chapter 2 type stuff. We not only help people officially as a church, we have the deacons, we have a fund, and we're constantly helping people in the church and in the community out of that fund. But I want to invite you into the random acts. You know, here's the deal. Like, if you hear somebody's got a need, you can just go take care of it. You don't have to wait on somebody to, like, or you don't have to figure out and get all of your investments in line or whatever. You can just go do it. I'm giving you permission, you know, to just go take care of people. I think it's a beautiful thing, and you're already doing it, but I want to encourage us to continue to do that. So you have this community in Acts that was freed up from thinking not only about their needs, but also thinking about and addressing the needs and the care of others. Rosaria Butterfield, who some of y'all know, she was a, and these are all her own words that I'm saying right now, all of her words. She was a practicing lesbian professor at Syracuse. And what happened? Pastor of a local church read her editorial or something, a paper she wrote. He responded to it. Then he invited her over for dinner. And she became converted. She became a Christian. And now she goes around and she speaks to groups, and she's great. I love her. And last year, several of us from this church had the opportunity to go and hear her speak in New Braunfels. And one of the things that she said that was kind of shocking, that it was shocking. She said, you know, the gay community does community better than the church. I just want y'all to know that. They just do. Now, that's a partial truth because I don't think they're devoted to the Word of God. But what she's talking about here is this, what we're talking about is taking care of one another. She said, every night there was a home that was open every single night of the week. If you were battling something, if you were battling addiction, if you were battling a broken relationship, if you were battling a loss in the family, whatever it was, everyone in our community knew there was a house they could go to at any moment to be cared for and to be loved. I mean, that kind of blew my mind too. It's like, man, they took care of each other. I told college students this, and I'll tell y'all this. You can spend your whole life making sure that your needs are taken care of. You spend your whole life doing it and never really reach out to other people. You literally can spend your whole life trying to make sure that your needs are taken care of. But in community, your needs are my needs, and my needs are your needs. We share the need together, and it's not really just financial. It's all of our needs. I think we believe this lie that we have to take care of ourselves by ourselves. And that's not what we see here in the book of Acts. I'll step out there. I'll do it. I'll step out there today. I need you. And at the risk of aging some people, I've got to say this. Like, John Molman's been a Christian grandfather that I never had. I need him. And Peggy Mills is like a mama to me. And we see this community coming together this morning. We all need healing. It's also a community that had a good reputation. Voice is cracking there. It's also a community that had a good reputation in the surrounding community. We see this in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And we know that what led to a good reputation in the community was their care for one another, their desire for God and their care for one another. And look, I want to say, of course, we don't live according to the world's agenda. We just don't. I don't live according to the world's agenda. And I'm not asking you to live according to the world's agenda. But it does point to here something that's important, and that is wondering how we come across in the community. Wondering how we come across, wondering what our perception, what others' perception of the church is, it's helpful. It's important to us to know what that is. We're not set by that agenda, but it shows that we're listening. And we're seeking to understand how we come across. Why is that important? Well, I mean, you just got to know that you're lumped in with something called the church. So when someone is burned by the church, even though this church didn't do it, you're lumped in with that. You just are. I know because I have lunch with these people. And I work to diffuse those things and address the hurts and the needs. But if that is, you know, becoming one of the prevailing things, I don't want to get hurt, so I'm not going to go. We can draw them in and do all sorts of things, but it's just important to know that perception is out there. And so we see all of these are vital signs of a healthy Christian community. We may not do all of them as well as we should, but we do strive for all these things to be present in our community. When I was in RUF, we had an annual training. And this year, particularly, it was in Dallas. We were all at the Intercontinental Hotel in Dallas, a big conference hotel. And there were several different groups there besides us. But we're in a meeting and we come out of the room, and this group of people from another conference approach some of our guys and say, "Is this a male modeling agency?" Now, let me tell you something. There's some good-looking RUF campus ministers. I'm just saying, okay? I mean, there really are. I've always thought, I'm like, man, there's some good-looking dudes, you know? And so it didn't surprise me a bit that somebody would say that. But you know what I thought? They're not talking about me. And maybe that was true. But it's the mentality behind it that was my problem. It's that's the way an outsider thinks and believes. I don't belong. But what if I told you this morning that it's precisely the outsiders that God draws in? You know what the secret is? Every one of us is an outsider. Theologically, I can prove that from Genesis 3. We were cast out of the garden. We are all outsiders. That's the secret. And I think in it, as we acknowledge that the story of God is the story of outsiders being brought near to Him and in community with Him and in community with one another. And I really want you to think, you may be one of these people that it's like me. You've always got one foot outside of the circle. Or your posture might communicate, I don't really believe I belong. And you're not really engaged. And I want you to know that God is calling you to engage Him and engage His people. just like this community here in Acts. We don't believe the church is perfect. We definitely believe that we are a mess. But do you also believe that you would be a mess without her? That's probably the bigger question. We're a mess, I promise you. But do you believe you'd be a mess without this community? I absolutely know that I would be a mess without it. Maybe you don't feel like you're the church type. I hope it's not a big secret that none of us feel that way. Keller, in his book on marriage, talks about, marrying the right person. Everybody's got this idea that they got to marry the right person. And he says, there's no right person to marry. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's a wrong person. There is no right person. And I can guarantee you that this is not the right community for you that will solve all of your problems. But I can say, we're going to strive to do community together. We're going to strive at forming community together, mistakes and all. And we would love to have you. We would love for you to engage God and one another with us more deeply. Because we believe Jesus has given His life to us. He is all in. Remember, this community group is the one that will last forever. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere because Jesus is committed to it. This is where He lives. Receive this good gift of community this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for showing us who we are, who you are, and what you called us to do. We thank you for giving us a direction. What do? We devote ourselves to you. We devote ourselves to one another. We hang out. We pray. We address our needs. Lord, and I pray that we would be well-liked and respected and admired in our community. And I pray that you would add to our number according to your will. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.